نصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers, Alhamdulillah, we continue very beautiful discourses of Hazrat Ji, Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh. And this particular one, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, it was the month of Rabiul Awwal. And he begins his majlis, and as I mentioned previously, these majalis that used to take place, each one was a single majlis, and the entire topic was discussed in the one sitting. And obviously, it should be for a long duration, 1-2 hours. We're sitting here for a short period of time, and each time we continue, we have to recap. But this is a new majlis that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali commenced. And he said, despite listening to so many talks, some remain where they are. So despite listening to so many talks, bayans, waaz, nasihat, some remain where they are. They make no progress. I do not know what their niyat is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of the niyat of each person sitting in the gathering. Allah ta'ala then causes improvement in one's character, what is termed islah, according to the niyat of the person. So according to the niyat of the person will either progress or he will remain where he is. This process where a person's niyat is correct, he's sitting for the sake of islah, then he gets hidayat. So this process is called hidayat. Hidayat means guidance. Islah and hidayat thus depends on one's niyat. Your niyat is correct, you will go through the process of islah, reformation, and you will get hidayat from Allah, guidance. We all are seeking hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Now to get that hidayat, we have to go through the process of islah. And to get islah in a person's life, then the person's niyat for sitting in the majlis has to be correct. And the ayat that they quoted, inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin. Allah does not change the condition of any qawm, any nation, حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, as long as they do not change what is within themselves. So this is quite plain and straightforward. Allah Ta'ala changes the condition of a nation due to its own actions. Its pitiful condition is because it has brought upon zulam upon itself. In one verse Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شِيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress mankind in any way, but human beings oppress themselves. So hidayat is guidance and deviation is dhalalat. This applies to an individual as well. When a person invites dhalalat, dhalalat means misguidance. So as shown by his conduct, then Allah Ta'ala causes him to go astray. After all, Allah Ta'ala is the divine original cause of every single thing. Each and everything, the controller is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hidayat comes from Allah. Dalalat also is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah verily sends upon whom Allah Ta'ala causes the person to go astray, and Allah causes a person to get hidayat. Both are in Allah Ta'ala's control. This does not mean, very carefully, this does not mean that Allah Ta'ala gives hidayat, guidance at random, and the individual has no choice in the matter. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us rationale, intelligence, aqal. Allah has sent us into this world, and Allah has shown us this is hidayat and this is dalalat. Now the person, it is up to him which road he chooses. Hazrat Rahmatullah explains that this does not mean that Allah Ta'ala gives guidance at random and the individual has no choice in the matter. This is not the case. What it means is, when a person adopts those means which lead to hidayat, Allah Ta'ala, as the prime cause, leads him to hidayat. In the Quran, Allah talks about, فَسَنُوا يَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. A person is seeking Jannat. He's making attempts to get guidance and hidayat from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He's taking those necessary steps of islah, and Allah Ta'ala will give him hidayat. And when a person adopts those means that leads a person to dalalat, misguidance, Allah Ta'ala then allows him to go astray. People tend to derive wrong meanings when looking at translations of the Quran Sharif. Therefore, Hazrat Ramadan explains, it is not permissible for people to look at translations of Quran Sharif without an ustad. Different people, again, he explained, different people have different attitudes, some of which are corrupt. Some seek jah, fame, honor, or some seek mal, wealth. These individuals attempt to get something out of others by gaining their confidence, so that people must come to believe he's connected to such and such buzruk, such and such place. Therefore, mashallah, he also must be a pious person. So he wishes to deceive people, he wishes to deceive the people and deceive the sheikh. The moment he sees that people consider him to be pious and upright, because he has made a point of being seen in the company of the pious, he puts his worldly ploy, the confidence trick, into action. So he gets the confidence of people. How? They see him going with a certain alim, certain sheikh, and they also regard him to be a pious person. So he starts by taking now a loan of 20 rupees. He pays it back punctually. Cycle of borrowing and repaying punctually has started. Sometimes he borrows 100 rupees, he pays it back. Sometimes 500 rupees, he pays it back. In this manner, he establishes his trustworthiness. MashaAllah, he's somebody who pays back punctually. He's also somebody who associates with the pious. He has won the confidence of the people. He now borrows 10,000 rupees and he does not pay it back. The confidence trick has been brought to its successful completion. As Hazrat Rahman says, I do not speak of incidents that have not taken place. This particular incident has been related from past experience. So if this is his niyat, to extort money from people by using a confidence trick, I'm bayat to a certain sheikh, certain alim, his close association, move all the time with pious people, with Ahlullah, Mashayikh, Ulama, different programs, the man is there. So people automatically think him also to be a good person. And then he starts borrowing from people after they have confidence in him. And suddenly, the man is not paying. So this is all tasawwuf. And I mentioned so many times, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned last week, we look for very fancy bayans. Something which is beyond our understanding, the Asman. These are simple things which we have to answer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, Hazrat Ramadan keeps on mentioning these little but extremely important things in our lives. If this is near to extort money from people by using a confidence trick, then it is obvious he can expect no benefit from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So it's not just only money. You win the confidence of people for fame. As Ajit said, for jah. Or sometimes mal. So it depends on the niyat the person sits in the majlis. According to that, he will get islah. Right in the beginning, as Ajit said, we're sitting, we're hearing so many bayans, waaz, nasihat, programs we have, this masjid, that masjid, we go, buzughanidin, come. And still, spiritually, we are still on the same spot if we haven't retrogressed. So, we have to question ourselves. What is our niyat for sitting in any alim program? Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, people sit in the majlis to check what this person is saying and to see how good he speaks. The purpose is not to gain spiritually. It's either to criticize the person or to see how well he's speaking, or how well he's not speaking. And therefore, you should keep on saying, remove the sinuses from your nose and the cataract from your eyes. And then you will get, when your niyat is clean and true, remember, who are you seeking? You're not seeking the Shaykh, you're not seeking an alim. You're seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is genuine, he's seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give him the hidayat. Allah ta'ala will make the means of hidayat come open for him. And if our niyat is not correct, then our islah will not take place, and no hidayat will come, and we'll still be in the same spot from so many, as we were so many years ago. May Allah ta'ala protect us, may Allah give us a true niyat. That is why Hazrat Ramadullah, his whole bayan, he started with correct niyat. So he says, it is not Allah ta'ala who wants him to go astray. That was the main point here. Allah ta'ala wants every person to get hidayat and get entry into Jannah. The person himself does not wish to get hidayat. That's a different matter now. So it is the ayat that was quoted just now, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Whomsoever Allah wishes to lead astray, Allah does so. And whom Allah wishes to guide, Allah does so. So this we should not misunderstand. It is not Allah Ta'ala who wants him to go astray. The ayat quoted just now does not mean that Allah Ta'ala wants him to go astray. It is not Allah Ta'ala's purpose to lead man astray. Allah Ta'ala has revealed the Quran Sharif with specific laws and guidance so that a person may come unto hidayat. Alif Lam Mim Dhalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fi Hudal Lil Muttaqeen. Throughout the Quran, Quran was sent for the hidayat of mankind. So Allah wants us to get hidayat. Here's a thought. If Allah Ta'ala wanted to lead man astray, why create Jannah then? Jahannam alone would have sufficed. So, it is this person who has deliberately sought dhalalat, misguidance by his wrong thoughts, by his wrong beliefs, by his evil conduct. So Allah Ta'ala has thus caused him to deviate. Here's an illustration. A person wishing to travel is lost. He does not know the way to his destination. A friend who knows the route is prepared to direct him. However, this person does not feel confident enough to go just by directions alone. So the friend goes with him, pointing out the way, also pointing out the dangers on the road. After traveling a short distance, the person interrupts and says, "Don't worry now, I know the path. I do not need you anymore." The friend holds his hands and says, "Wait, there's a well directly in front of you, and you are heading straight for it." Person says, "What well? There's no well. Leave my hand." So despite his friend's pleas, he forces his hand free, and he walks blindly forward to fall into this well. Question now is, did the friend throw this person into the well? And this is an example. The man is going to a person's destination, he does not know the direction. His friend knows the direction. So his friend shows him the direction, takes him by his hand, and is leading him to his destination, and shows him, these are the harms, these are the dangers, be careful here. After a little distance, the person feels now he can travel on his own, so he breaks loose from his friend and insists, "No, that I will go on my own." The friend warns him, there's a well right in front of you. And he does not see the well. He says, "What well?" And what happens? He falls right into the well. So the question is, did the friend throw this person into the well? Obviously no. The answer is obviously not. He himself had the strange desire to fall into the well. The friend was there to guide him. He tried to prevent him by actually holding him back. But the help was scorned. Such thick-headed people should really be given a shove from behind and be told, "Go, destroy yourself, fall inside." Obviously, we do not advise that you do this, but somebody who is malicious may just decide to do it. What do we advise? Sharia injunction is very well stated in this Farsi couplet, which states that if you see a blind person walking and he's heading directly for a well, it is your compulsory duty to save him. If you're making namaz even, interrupt your namaz and stop him. This is what Islam teaches. The poet says, if I see a blind person heading towards a well and I remain silent, then I'm a sinner. In this specific situation, one has now broken off one's namaz and one rushes forward and grabs the blind person's hand thereby putting into practice what Islam teaches. If the blind person becomes enraged and says, why are you catching my hand? Leave me alone. One should explain nicely to him, brother, there's a well in front of you. If the blind person is still adamant and says, who are you to tell me? Leave my hand. He forces his hand free. Then all one can say, as you wish, and leave him to his fate. So, has he been thrown into the well? Or has he fallen in on his own free will? As we said, a malicious person may just decide to give him an extra shove from behind. Of course, no respectable, intelligent person would ever think of doing such a nasty thing. It is unthinkable that Allah Ta'ala should cause a person to deviate from hidayat and cause him to go astray. Allah Ta'ala will never just push a person into the well of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala save us from such thoughts. You have not understood the Quran Sharif. The terminology of the Quran Sharif is that of royalty. As stated already, what is meant is the primordial cause of everything is Allah Ta'ala. Honor and disgrace, guidance and deviation, all are in His hands. However, whatever happens to us, we invite by our own niyat and our amal. Should one fall into disgrace or one goes astray, do not implicate Allah Ta'ala. This is what you have brought on yourself. Allah Ta'ala is free from all blame. That is why it is important to safeguard one's niyat. One's niyat should draw one towards good. One should make dua. O Allah, bless us all with hidayat. Grant us all maghfirat. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayr rahimin. One's niyat is important. The benefit accruing to one will depend on one's niyat. People visiting a buzurg or some alim or some sheikh, they go with different niyats. Different objectives are concealed in the hearts of those sitting with the buzurg, developing an association with him, becoming bayat to him. If one has a niyat to build a strong and firm bond with Allah Ta'ala, then one will definitely benefit. If the niyat is to attain some worldly objective, then that person will still attain his material objective. The latter case, this person sets out to gain the confidence of the people by his associating with buzurg, as I mentioned in the beginning, that he's seen in the circles of pious people. He's seen in the circle moving around with ulama. But his motive is the confidence trick. To gain the confidence of people, so he either starts borrowing, and initially he pays until people have confidence in him, and suddenly he borrows and extorts money from people, or he borrows a large sum and he fails to pay. Or he enjoys getting all the praises, and he becomes a victim of fame. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So if the niyat is to attain some worldly objective, the person will still attain his material objective. Like we find in the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ Very hadith, first hadith sharif in Bukhari sharif and many other kitabs. And there is a particular person who intended to marry a woman. So she says to him, if you want to get married to me, you must make hijrah to Medina. I'm migrating. If you really love me, you want to get married to me, you must come all the way there. So his niyat was to marry this particular woman, and he got married to her. But he did not get the sawab of making hijrat for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasul sallallahu mentioned that a man would make the niyat and the migration for the sake of nikah, he'll get married to her. He's made niyat for the sake of some dunya reason, he'll get the dunya. But you won't get the real sawab of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So material objective, you might achieve that. He wishes to impress others by being a friend of the buzurg, by being bayat to him in this silsila, or by showing others that he is of his progeny. Such a person will attain his worldly objectives, but his portion in the akhirat will diminish proportionately. Yes, if he dies with iman, then he will get jannat. But there is no question of his attaining jannat in the very first instance. Let's understand this. Qiyamat, akhirat takes place. Some will go to jannat, some will go to Jahannam. If I ask the question, would people like to go to Jahannam? No. Everybody wants to go to Jannat. But there will be certain people who won't go to Jannat immediately. Even though they got Iman, in the end they will go to Jannat. But they won't go immediately with the rest of the people. Why? because of these sins, and they will be put into Jahannam, may Allah save us, and they'll be purified of their sins, they'll be cleansed. After some time, then they'll be removed, and then put into Jannat. So why go that route? We make dua, Allah, make us enter Jannat, بغير حساب كتاب. In other words, make us go Jannat immediately. The moment Allah gives the order of people going to Jannah, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, we must be among those people who get دُخُولِ أَوَّلِي. In other words, who enter Jannat right from the beginning, not later on, after going into Jahannam. So the person may have Iman. Ultimately he'll get Jannat, but because his niyat was fasid, his niyat was corrupt, so he will not get the true, or he will not get Jannat in the immediate instance. This stands to reason, if all Muslims qualify to enter Jannat straight away on dying, then what is the purpose of making one responsible for the laws of Shariat? If just if you brought Iman was sufficient, and no A'mal in your life, then where's the question of then, Allah Ta'ala will put everybody into Jannat then? But Allah Ta'ala has not made it such. Allah gives punishment for those people who disobey Allah's ahkamat. We talk about Shariat. They are laws for salat, laws of taharat, laws of zakat, laws of sawm, hajj, etc. Laws of transaction, laws with our wives and children and husbands. So these, all these laws, which the ulama have made easy for us, and we find in different kitabs, we have to bring this into our lives. And then bring, that is how we bring in our lives a'mal, good deeds, and we refrain from evil deeds. So this is important, iman and a'mal salihah. Why is there punishment for acts of kufr and for crimes committed? Person makes zina, why is there punishment? Otherwise, the person can go commit zina, he's got iman, sufficient. Go make zina. So why differentiate between haqq and batil? Why label those not obeying the shariat as, why label those not obeying shariat as transgressors? Why do we say the man is transgressing the laws of shariat? He's displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we can't see, he got iman, so why even label any person? Or why say that the person is a transgressor? There must be a reason for all this. There's a difference between nafse iman and kamil iman. Nafse iman is just the iman that we have. The answer is quite simple. Iman can either be a simple iman, nafse iman, or perfect iman, kamil iman. Those with a kamil, perfect iman, will qualify for Jannat straight away. Those who just iman on his own, and they didn't have a perfect iman, then they will enter Jannat only after the punishment has been meted out to them. Yes, I was saying, a person who has worldly gain at his objective, will achieve worldly gain, and if you recall the kissa we did last week, or the week before, of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, and that person who posed as his son-in-law, or even with Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, and the person posed as his son-in-law. But, so he achieved some benefit of his, the objective he achieved. Yes, he did achieve his objective, but, Hazrat says, but remember this person may gain from a worldly point of view, but he is losing much more as far as the akhirat is concerned. He has in mind, he's making an effort to earn a living. What is termed as kasb dunya. Kasbun means to earn. So he is making an effort to for earning dunya. And Hazrat explains, what is earning dunya? The person feels what he is doing is within the confines of earning dunya. Like this person who was an imposter, his objective was what? To get money, to make a living. So he acted as though he was a son-in-law of Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan. He got a top job. So he got wealth. But he lied, he spoke lies, he deceived. So Hazrat Ji says, what is the Islamic standpoint on earning dunya? Islam has made iktisab dunya permissible on condition there is no interference with your earning of the akhirat. Remember, we came in this dunya, right at the beginning of Hazrat Ji's majlis, as we mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have been created for the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. We have been created for akhirat. In other words, if there is no harm to one's deeds and his a'mal, his ma'mulat for the akhirat, then only is earning wealth and dunya permissible for him. In other words, on the other hand, if seeking dunya, in seeking dunya, this interference with one's efforts and one's deeds. And then we're talking about those compulsory deeds. The fara'id are being affected. Then that earning is not permissible. This is the rule. The basis of our existence has been interfered with. Ponder and reflect. We have come here for what? For an examination. To pass and gain perpetual akhirah. Because we are living in a dunya which is full of means, Sharia tells you to use those means for your zarurat. But that's not your maqsad. That's not your object. Dunya is not your object. We are just going past dunya and we will use the zarurat. But our main thing is our akhirat. So anything of dunya which becomes an interference towards gaining akhirat, our iman and those fara'id, then if it becomes an interference, then that dunya is no good for you. So the basis of our existence is to make an effort for the akhirat. And earning which interferes with this effort is not correct. Rasulullah says, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." The world is the cultivation ground for akhirat. In other words, give priority to the works and deeds of akhirat. Do not do any such thing that will interfere with the deeds of akhirat. This is the rule. As he explains very nicely, what is our condition, he says. In India, he says, we see the farmer getting in the morning, going straight to his farm. Businessman, when he gets up, goes straight to his shop. Worker gets up, straight to the office or factory. Student gets up, straight to the classroom, so forth. Not a single one has performed his first obligation, salat. What each one should have been doing is the following: after getting up, freeing himself from the call of nature, make wudu and gone to make namaz with jamaat, takbir-e-ula. Then only should he have proceeded to his work, his dunya work. Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Surah Jumu'ah. After Salat al-Jumu'ah, Allah says, then you spread into the world and then seek Allah Ta'ala's rozi. But Jumu'ah time, you have come for Salat. After your Salat obligation has been fulfilled, now you earn your halal rozi. So when you have completed your namaz, do not stay put in the masjid now. Now Allah says, spread out on the earth. Spread out on the world for what? وَابْتَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Go and seek the fadl, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you must not stay put in the masjid now. Allah says, now you go spread out on the earth. For what? To go to the cinema. To go watch television. Hazrat then suddenly digresses and says, television is to be found everywhere today. Public places, business premises, virtually every home. Of course, his time there was no cell phones and all the social media. At times, not only one, two and three televisions. These have been placed ideally to spread shamelessness and to reinforce the roots of apostasy to lead one astray. Television does not harm others as much as it does to the Muslim. Others have already reached the pinnacle of the destruction. Here they die, they fall into Jahannam. This is the immediate fate they face. Compulsory for those who die with kufr. No, the damage and harm is to who? The Muslim, the mu'min. But our mu'min brothers and sisters refuse to understand. Therefore our destruction is progressing headlong. The cinema and television are excellent avenues wherein the destruction of the Muslim is being propagated. Without having to say anything directly, the destruction of the Muslim is under progress. Cinema, television are a big fitna, corruption. In the same way that it is a fitna, and a great fitna at that, for young lads to keep company with other young lads. It's a great fitna for youths to mix with other youths. So having made namaz, should one leave the masjid for these activities? Never. Your namaz forbids you. Hold on, just a little while ago, you were standing and talking with who in salat? With Allah, the one who is most exalted, most honored. On your lips was Allahu Akbar, Subhanahu Rabbi al-Azim, Subhanahu Rabbi al-A'la, was his sublime and respected name. You bowed your back respectfully in front of him. You rubbed your forehead on the ground in great humility in front of him. You sat in front of him, head bent down, with your heart burning with love for him. And now you have just moved a few steps away from there to sit where? In the cinema to watch television. And to go around goggling at young boys and women. Now we can see googling. And to look with contempt at others. And to swear and use foul language. Man, with salat, Hardly came out of the masjid, so many times in the parking lot, or outside, he goes into the shop, and now he's busy using foul language, screaming at others, and to look with contempt at others, to swear and use foul language, to argue and scream, to be involved in indecent and forbidden acts. Are these the demands of that noble and honorable namaz? No. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ does not mean all this. What does it mean? Allah is saying, spread out on the earth to seek the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sounds strange to seek the fadl of Allah. Was the very reason that you had gone to the masjid. You were sitting in the masjid to seek Allah's pleasure. You're obviously gone to seek the pleasure of Allah ta'ala and not His displeasure. Al-Iyadu Billah. How can one ever think that a man came to the masjid to seek Allah's displeasure? This is the fine point being brought to your notice. A point that you may not find in the kitab of tafsir. Another fine point to bring to your notice, the Arabic word fi, fantashiru, fil ard, is used. And fi means in, spread out in the earth. Grammatically the word ala should be spread on the earth, would be more appropriate. However, the word fi is used in this instance for greater emphasis, spread out firmly and enthusiastically on the earth. O students, O ulama-i kiram, hakan. These are points you may not come across in checking in the kitab of tafsir. But let us carry on. Spread out for what? To seek the pleasure of Allah. وَبْتَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ Question arises, O Allah. We were sitting in the masjid specifically seeking your fadl. Tell us, what is this other fadl you're talking about? The answer is, this fadl is your rozi, your sustenance. So go out now and seek your rizq, your rozi. You were under the impression that being in the masjid, engaging your namaz, your tilawat, your tasbih, was the only means of attaining Allah's fazl? Not at all. Spreading out on the earth, traveling and touring, is also seeking the fazl of Allah. This is also ibadat. So go forth, seek your sustenance. Another question, why this unusual manner of ordering us to seek our sustenance? Allah Ta'ala's answer is, it must not happen that you seek your rozi. It must not happen that you seek your rizq, forgetful of me. It must not happen that you immerse yourself in your farming, your business, whatever work you're doing, forgetful of me. So, Allah Ta'ala made us come first to the masjid. We made ibadat, made ruku, sajda. Then, Allah says, now you go out and seek Allah Ta'ala's rozi. Now, if a man just made his salat, obviously he'll still be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and moreover, that whatever you earn, you come to consider to be the result solely of your own toil and efforts. It must not happen. Remember that even the results are through my fadl. So, وَبْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ when you are seeking the rozi of Allah, it is only through the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you not stopped to think why the next person has not got what you have? So, this is not my fadl upon you. Yet you consider that you have earned, whatever you earned is solely through your rushing around, your efforts, your toiling. Through your own efforts, just like Qarun. Qarun believed it was solely through his own knowledge and his skills that he amassed his wealth. Qarun had boasted, what I have amassed is solely through my own knowledge and expertise. I have taken no help or support, neither from any person, nor from that being whom you refer to as Khaliq. Believe as you wish, was Allah Ta'ala's response. What happened? Allah Ta'ala's wrath descended on both Qarun and his wealth were destroyed. Remember, not a single item that we possess is ours. Nay, we ourselves cannot claim, lay a claim to ourselves. We all belong to another being. And if we belong to another being, it follows that whatever we have in our possession also belongs to that being. Do you understand? In other words, the moment a right-thinking person with clear understanding can absorb this concept, he will never develop takabbur, pride. No matter how much external excellence he may achieve, whether it is materially in the form of wealth or physically in the form of bodily strength or politically in the form of kingship over a land or support of the masses, he will never be boastful or proud or arrogant. The excellence that he has attained may not be in zahiri qualities, may be in batini qualities. Sometimes a person achieves some excellence, for example, something which is within him, taqwa, zuhud, things that you cannot see, all this too is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives us no right to be boastful or proud or arrogant. That is the Swazat Rasul. Obviously, only the fadl of Allah ta'ala. Only the fadl of Allah ta'ala upon us. Something good happens, somebody gets inspired by his talk, or some whatever, then he will say, is only through Allah's fazl. That is why the Ahlullah, the real Ahlullah, do not even have a trace of takabbur. This is because they realize and accept that everything is from Allah. The Ahlullah understand very well that Haqq Ta'ala is musabbibul asbab, the creator of means. Allah Ta'ala is the cause of all causes. It does attribute all good to Allah. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Any ni'mat, any good favor you've got, attribute it to Allah Ta'ala. And never impute that good to excellence within yourself. These Ahlullah, they recognize all good attributes to be gifts from Allah Ta'ala. And they're ever fearful. It must not happen that this gift is snatched away. That is why they abstain from any such speech, any such action, any such deed, any such work that may incur even an atom's displeasure from Allah Ta'ala, fearing that this may be the cause for the divine gift to be snatched away. Do you understand? As he asked the people, at times it may happen. A particular excellence is temporarily taken away. However, this is not always due to some fault on the part of the Ahlullah. But the reason for this is to draw the person even closer to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala desires that this person should direct his attention more fully on Allah alone. Not for a moment even should this person's gaze drift to himself and his achievements, but his gaze should be fixed on Allah Ta'ala even more closely and completely by an even greater realization that he is the bestower of all gifts. Hazrat Ramadan then gives the story of Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and he says, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah was a master, his knowledge, his uloom. For him to give a waaz and nasihat and bayan was absolutely nothing. He was in Jalsa in some town, and Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah was called to speak. As he rose from his seat, where he was sitting, and going towards the minbar, he thought to himself, MashaAllah, I will give a nice bayan. When he sat there, he read the verse, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah was absolutely blank. He read the verse again. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The ayat which he normally quote, he read the ayat blank, not one word coming into. He tried second time, third time, now he realized. Allah Ta'ala does not wish for me to speak. He realized now, everything is only in the control of Allah Ta'ala. He said, وآخر دعوانا, بس, nothing coming, he went and sat down. Hazrat, see, sometimes these things happen to the Ahlullah, not because they had pride in the ma'adallah, no. But Allah Ta'ala wants to draw them even more closer to Allah Ta'ala. And no matter how much excellence a person may have, then to all the time, your full concentration is only upon Allah, your nigah, your gaze, only Allah does, and nobody else can do. So I am useless if Allah does not want me to do that particular thing that I have excelled in even. We fail to understand this. Sometimes a person feels it's my wealth, it's my intelligence, my power. I'm a superpower. I will everything in my control. And I will do this whenever I want. One button I will press. Absolutely nothing. All happens only through the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we should always make shukr to Allah ta'ala that whatever Allah has given us is only through His fazl and kindness. Nothing belongs to us. So again, in the beginning, niyat has to be correct in whichever waaz, nasihat, bayan, shaykh we go to. Niyat must be correct. If our niyat is to win the love of Allah Ta'ala, then the process of islah will automatically come into play. And once the process of islah starts, then Allah guides the person to Allah Ta'ala. If the niyat is incorrect, then there won't be any islah, no hidayat coming, and we'll find ourselves in the same spot for years on end. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from dhalalat. May Allah guide us, give us hidayat. May Allah rectify and correct our intentions all the time. May Allah Ta'ala make our islah easy. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.